To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. And we know he's given us a day of life, and we are so grateful for God created time, and we have this time together to learn of God and his will for us. There's some things beyond our control, and we're so glad that God is in control of these things. As we look over in Genesis chapter 1, we can see that God had his way with the creation. He created time, and it says in chapter 1 of Genesis in verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So he took evening and morning and made a day. He took these two things and made a great thing for us. He also created man in his own image. Read that in chapter 1 as well. He took flesh and spirit and made Adam and Eve. We see over in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, and then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Also we read in chapter 2 and verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So when Adam and Eve, the two living souls, became one flesh, it was by the power of God. He alone has the power to create and establish good things. We read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that woman was created for man. And man and woman are not independent of each other in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God, as we read in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 11. So as we think of these things and how God takes two and becomes one in his will, we like to look at a story from the scriptures. Let's turn over to the book of Ruth. See there in the Bible we have Joshua, Judges, and then the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth we can read of a famine that was in the land of Israel, and it's because of all the evil that was going on that the land that flowed with milk and honey was in a suffering state because of sin. Elimelech and Naomi, who had lived in Bethlehem, they had to move to the country of Moab with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And both sons married Moabitess women. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. While living in Moab, all three men, Elimelech the father and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they all died, leaving three widows. Then when the Lord ended the famine in Israel, Naomi decided to move back to Bethlehem. Orpah, one of the daughters-in-laws, stayed in Moab, but Ruth chose to stay and wanted to stay with her mother-in-law. We read that over in chapter 1, in verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord dealt kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, why would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has inflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So Ruth became a daughter to Naomi. Naomi became a mother to Ruth, and the two became one. It's a beautiful story from a difficult and sad time. Ruth was a young Moabitess widow with faith and devotion to Naomi and to her God, the God of Israel. When Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, she was known as a virtuous woman with a good reputation. She came to Bethlehem and worked. She gleaned fields of grain, and she worked for herself and her mother-in-law. She worked in the fields of a wealthy man named Boaz. He was a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. He was kind to all and had a good reputation. Boaz met Ruth in his field. We see that over in chapter 2. We can read there in verses 8 through 20. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat by the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed is he of the Lord who is not forsaking his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. So we see the good heart of Boaz and Ruth here, and they loved each other, but they loved God first, and this really made the big difference in their lives. In the presence of 10 elders of Bethlehem, Boaz made the decision to marry Ruth. We can see that over in chapter 4, in verses 9 through 22. And over in that passage, we learn that Naomi became a grandmother. It says in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your good, of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. So then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We go on to read of the genealogy of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So we see how God worked in his providence and in the hearts of those who were faithful and loving and compassionate to bring two together who became one, that is Boaz and Ruth. And so through this work of God and the work and the love of these two, God prepared for a revival of his holy kingdom. Many years went by after this, and the kingdom was evil. Evil kings, and it led to captivity, to Babylonian captivity. And during the Babylonian captivity, God brought judgment after 70 years upon the kingdom of Babylon. It fell to the Medes and the Persians. In this kingdom of the Medes and Persians, we read of a story as we go over to the book of Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, then Esther. And there in that story, we know there's evil in this kingdom, evil without. That is, within the hearts of those within that kingdom. The children of Israel were no longer in captivity. Many of them, though, had not returned to their homeland. The book of Esther tells the story of two courageous Jews, Esther and Mordecai. They were cousins. Esther was a young orphan. Her cousin Mordecai took care of her and gave her fatherly advice and wisdom. They lived in Shushan, the citadel of King Ahasuerus. He was a Mede and ruled over the Medo-Persian Empire. 127 provinces. It was a great empire from India to Ethiopia. His wife, Queen Vashti, did not obey him during a public feast, so he decided that she would no longer be queen. Esther was a young woman at that time, described as lovely and beautiful. And so she became a candidate to be the next queen. We see that over in chapter 2 of Esther, beginning in verse 15. Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go in to the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants, and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. Meanwhile, Mordecai, in his life, he was regarded as a good citizen who helped save the king's life. And so the king promoted Haman, who was a prominent prince in the kingdom. The king commanded that all the king's servants were to bow and pay homage to Haman. But Mordecai, being a faithful Jew, he refused. We read of this in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. See there, after these things, the king Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Amatatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were in with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay homage to him, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout all the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. So as we read there, Haman knew that Mordecai was a Jew, and he wanted to destroy all the Jews in the kingdom because of his sinful heart. The decree to destroy the Jews was written according to all that Haman had commanded. However, the king did not know that the decree would allow Haman to kill Esther and Mordecai. So Queen Esther courageously revealed Haman's plot to the king. Haman and all the Jews' enemies were destroyed, and Mordecai was honored. We can read of this in Esther chapter 8, verses 15 through 18, and also in chapter 10. When Ahasuerus and Esther, the two, became one, God's providential power preserved his holy kingdom. So once again, we see how God brought into the fullness of time, bringing forth the Son. After all these events and many others that we've read had occurred. Now God can bring us into a relationship that is spiritual, everlasting, and joyful. It is relationship between Jesus and a believer. We see over in Matthew chapter 11. In verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We see of that, read of that one yoke. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In order to wear this yoke, each and every one must lose our lives. I must lose my life, as it says over in John chapter 12 in verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So you and I, we must always keep this in our heart, to do the will of God, as Jesus did, as we read this evening, this morning, to do the will of God, to be one with him. God gives rest in his holy kingdom to a believer when he or she becomes one with Jesus in the yoke, Jesus' yoke. Also, Jesus has been united with his body, the church, as we read over in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. And he put all things under his feet, that is God the Father, put all things under the feet of Jesus, and gave Jesus him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians we read, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We also read of Jesus and his body over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Verse 25, we read there of husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we are members of the body of Christ, of his flesh, of his bones, and we read of his power, and he has that power. We must have faith in it, the power that he has to fill and perfect, cleanse and sanctify in his holy kingdom. Also, we read of Jew and Gentile, as we read this morning, that there is no division, that the Jews and Gentiles have been brought together. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them to both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Just to think of these things, let's keep in mind how Jesus, in the power of his life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and exaltation, all these things must be kept in our hearts so that we can have unity with all who are faithful to God, because Jesus has broken down the middle wall of separation, made it possible for all to be described as one new man. And it's all through God's power to reconcile in one body through the cross. He has the power to break down and to create anew in his holy kingdom. So this unity that we speak of, where God takes two and becomes one, all men, Jew and Gentile, can be part of that one bride, one husband, one fold, one shepherd. What God has joined together, let not man separate. God would like to speak to us today, and he does, through the Holy Scriptures. We must hear him. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. His Son has sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. The Spirit speaks through the Scriptures and tells us of one baptism, the baptism into Christ, the baptism into one body, as we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." So this morning, the invitation is always available as we have life. In this day we have life. We have this morning where each and every soul can respond to the invitation of Jesus and come to him through faith and become one with him, to put him on in baptism. It takes courage and faith, and we pray that will be the case for each and every one here this day, to express that courage and faith in a confession before men, and then also confess it before all as we go forth in our deeds and our words. It's a time to repent, for God has commanded all men to repent in these last days. To repent and yield yourself as a servant and an instrument of righteousness for God. So if you have faith and you believe to the saving of your soul, the power of God will draw you to him. You can trust and obey as we stand and sing the song of invitation.